भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 Chapter 10, text 10. Chapter entitled Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam purushaya mahatmane हरये अद्भुतसिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरये अद्भुतसिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरे अद्भुत सिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरे अद्भुत सिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने ओम भगवते तुभ्यं हाय महात्मने हरे अद्भुत सिंहाय मने परमात्मने ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरे अद्भुत सिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने माताजी प्लीज ओम नमो भगवते तुभ्यं पुरुषाय महात्मने हरये अद्भुत सिंहाय ब्रह्मणे परमात्मने ओम ओ माय लॉर्ड ओ सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड नमः आई ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस भगवते And to the Supreme Person, Tubhyam, and to you, Purushaya, and to the Supreme Person, Mahatmane, and to the Supreme Soul, or the Super Soul, Haraye, unto the Lord, who vanquishes all the miseries of the devotees, Adbhuta Simhaya, unto your wonderful lion-like form as Narsimhadev, Brahmane, unto the Supreme Brahman, Paramatmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O my Lord, full of six opulences, O Supreme Person, O Supreme Soul, killer of all miseries, O Supreme Person, in the form of a wonderful lion and man, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj has explained that a devotee can achieve the platform of Bhagavata, Bhagavatva, being as good as the Supreme Person. But this does not mean that the devotee loses his position as a servant. A pure servant of the Lord, although as opulent as the Lord, is still meant to offer respectful obeisances unto the Lord in service. Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in pacifying the Lord, and therefore he did not consider himself equal to the Lord. He defined his position as a servant and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Enatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pasyatyade Starine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. One guest in the early days, he asked Prabhupada if Prabhupada can teach him Raja Yoga. His understanding of Raja Yoga was something, mechanical, something material. It has to do with the energy points, chakras and like this. But Prabhupada immediately opened the Bhagavad Gita and showed him this verse, 9.2. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram Idam Uttam. This boy wanted to know about Raja Yoga. Raja means king. So Prabhupada showed him this verse with so many rajas, the words rajas. And Prabhupada explained to him how this is the real Raja Yoga. And Prabhupada translated in this sense, Raja Yoga as yoga practiced by all the great kings. And here we can see how Prahlad, being the greatest of the kings, is glorifying Lord Narsingha with this beautiful prayer. Very simple but with so much love and meaning. And Prabhupada's word for word translation is, Prabhupada's amazing. He doesn't leave any room for impersonalism. Even the word Om, Prabhupada translates as, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. This will blow the minds of most of the Hindus, because their idea of Om is something impersonal and vague. But Prabhupada is like very personal. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is the nature of love. The nature of love is that we can never glorify or speak about our beloved enough. It's like one time Prabhupada was asked, what do you hope to get out of this chanting of Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, we hope to get more Hare Krishna out of this chanting. In other words, we hope to get more chanting out of this chanting. So, this is the nature of pure love. In the material world, we are always used to doing things for some result. We are always trained in schools and, by parents and, politicians and celebrities. You always do something if there is something in it for you. You always, sizing everything and everybody up. It's like I remember when I was in New Zealand a few years ago, there was this guest at one of our preaching outreach centers, and she was explaining, I can't remember though, context how this came about, but anyway, she was explaining how she had a python as a pet. And the python would crawl out of his or her cage, I don't know what the gender was, and come and lie next to her in the bed. And this would happen regularly. And the python stopped eating for like 2 weeks and just did the same thing, just come out of the cage and lie down next to her in the bed. So her pet doctor told her, you should get rid of this because it's sizing you up to swallow you up. It's planning to, you know, eat you. And she was so shocked, but with a heavy heart, she had to get rid of this python because it stopped eating, thinking like, I'm going to eat her. So this is like a graphic example, but in a sense, everybody is like this in this world. Like, we're always sizing everybody up and every situation up. And we're always thinking like, you know, what will I get out of this? This is actually a material consciousness. And this actually puts us in so much anxiety. Because as long as we want something, immediately we become disturbed. Because you never get what you want in this world. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, if you want to be happy, if you want to become happy, stop trying to be happy. This was the peace formula Prahlad Maharaj gave. But pure devotees, when they hear and when they chant about Krishna, when they glorify God, it's not like a prosperity religion. You know, give me like a Cadillac and a chauffeur and nice house in Malibu Beach. And it's not like that. They're actually chanting with so much love and devotion, and they don't want anything except the pleasure of the beloved, the pleasure of the Supreme. It's like Prahlad Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is offering him any benediction he wanted. He said, no, I don't want to make this a business transaction. I'm just, you know, this is my constitutional position. I love serving you. I love chanting about you. I don't want anything coming in between our relationship. So when pure devotees hear and chant, it's there's so much love there. It's like we hear about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan in this six Goswami Ashtakam prayers, describing, summarizing the life of the six Goswamis. There we see how the six Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatana, Raghunatha Bhatta, Raghunath Dasa, Jiva, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they were just Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. They were just constantly chanting the names of Krishna in so much ecstasy. And you can read in the Sikshashtakam, even though Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as Lord Chaitanya, he only left 8 prayers behind. And in these prayers of Sikshashtakam, we can also see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, I don't want anything material. I just want to glorify you, Krishna. I just want to serve you. And whether we study the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they're always chanting, glorifying, praying to Krishna without expecting anything material in return. They were just happy glorifying Krishna. And even though they're always chanting the names of Krishna, they're regretting also always that they're not able to chant enough. It's like Rupa Goswami, he prays, Krishna, your names are so sweet, but I'm so unfortunate, I have only one tongue and 2 ears. What can I do with one tongue and 2 ears? I wish I had millions of ears and millions of tongues so I can chant and hear your glories. And there's this pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of this Brahmana, Gopal. Gopal was constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And he was feeling so much in ecstasy that he couldn't even stop when he goes to the toilet, that he just kept chanting and chanting. But he felt, Gopal felt, oh, it's not proper that I go and chant the names of God in the toilet. So he was holding on to his tongue. And he was having a battle between himself and his tongue. Like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And this little boy saw him, this little devotee, like 5 years old or something like that. And he said to Gopal, what are you doing? What's going on here? And Gopal explained humbly that, you know, I want to go to the toilet, but my tongue wouldn't stop chanting. And the boy said, that's a wonderful thing. Just like the sun, you know, when it shines on a filthy place, the sun actually purifies all the viruses, all the contamination. Similarly, when you chant holy names anywhere and everywhere, it's not like the holy name is going to get contaminated, rather it sanctifies the whole atmosphere. And the boy explained to Gopal that, what about if you die while you're going in the toilet? So it's good that you're chanting. You shouldn't hold on to your tongue. You should just chant. And Lord Chaitanya was actually witnessing this exchange between this young boy and this Gopal Brahman. And Lord Chaitanya actually named this boy as Gopal Guru, one who became the spiritual master of this Gopal. So this is the position. Everybody is, when in the material life, you know, we protest. Like I remember when I was told I should chant 16 rounds, I went to my guru. At that time I was like very new. He was not officially my guru, but so I asked him like, why should we chant 16 rounds? My mentality is thinking, why can't I just chant one round? You know, what is this chanting 16 rounds? And he can understand what my real motivation of my question. So he jokingly said, ah, actually you can chant more if you like. Nobody's stopping you. I got bewildered. I'm like, that's exactly not what I wanted to hear, you know. I wanted to hear him say, yeah, you can chant one round, half a round, whatever. So in the material existence, we have no taste for spiritual activities. So we wanted to minimize as less as possible. We want to chant as less as possible. We want to engage in any spiritual activity as minimum as possible. But the more we progress in spiritual life, we will want to glorify Krishna non-stop without expecting anything in return. Nobody, even if nobody is watching, we will do our service and chanting and, you know, be blissful like this. So all these books we have, they're nothing but recorded sound vibration. They're full of glorification of Krishna, done with so much love. It's not written for any pratishta, any false ego, or it's not like Krishna Das Kaviraj, you know, his last days of his life thinking, I want to make this Chaitanya Charitamrita the best-selling book ever, you know. And I want to be the most author, famous author. Like if you go in the airports and bookstalls, you see the authors, you know. They're in the front page with like suit and glistening teeth and like they want to be known all over the world. Krishna Das Kaviraj didn't have even dictaphone, didn't have any secretary. He was doing everything by himself. But he had so much love for Krishna, therefore, whoever reads these books, coming in the parampara, coming in the disciplic succession, they get influenced, they become influenced. These books are actually so much, has so much potencies, they're so pregnant with so much potencies, and they teach us highest level of love for God. And whoever comes across these teachings, they actually become influenced. It's like we have Isaac here and Natalie, Isaac's girlfriend. I met Isaac a few months ago in a train station, and he got one book, Quest for Enlightenment, and he read that book and he became inspired. And then he got the Bhagavad Gita, he read that, now he's reading Bhagavatam. And he's inspiring so many people, his girlfriend, his sister, his friends, whoever is coming along. So this is the process. This is the process of the Sankirtan movement. Therefore Prabhupada said, this Sankirtan movement given to us by Lord Chaitanya is so special that all the great souls will actually take birth in this movement to experience the nectar. Whether it's unsuccessful yogis or demigods, even saints from other religions, they will actually appear in this movement and they will want to experience the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But we are so fortunate, somehow or other, we are here right now, and we should take full advantage of this mercy available right now. Otherwise, if we miss this opportunity, we don't take full advantage, then this process of coming back and approaching again Krishna consciousness and taking to it, it's not very intelligent thing to do. It's like going to the airport, you know, bumper to bumper traffic, and then you go through all the immigration clearance and security clearance, and then you board on plane, and then finally the plane takes off, and after a few minutes you're announced that the plane is actually going back to the runway for some reason. It's a really painful experience, because you have to come back, you know, you're not going to your destination, you come back to the runway, and again, you have to take your luggages and go back and wait in the waiting lounge, and then they wait for you to call. 6-7 hours later, you're starving. This is just a crude example. Similarly, we have the opportunity right now, but if we don't take advantage, it's like again coming back, you know, again crash landing and then doing everything all over again. It's like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he was explaining recently in the Prabhupada festival, how he was doing so much service for Prabhupada, he didn't quite get time to read the books. He was preaching so much. Prabhupada kept them busy, the Prabhupada disciples can testify, 24 hours. So busy, so exhausted, so, you know, outreach work, that he didn't have time to read the books. And so much went on in his life, Prabhu was explaining, that he actually got carried away. He actually forgot about Krishna consciousness. These are his own words. Didn't mean to be disrespectful. But. And Krishna's arrangement, his health got so sick, and he had to take this heavy, heavy, heavy medication for a whole year and just stay home. He couldn't do anything else. And then it just came to him, maybe I should read these books, you know. So he just picked up the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, started reading, second volume, third volume. He came to 10th canto and he was in so much ecstasy. See, this is the process. The process is, when you're doing devotional service, the reward is that when you read the books, the purports, actually the words jump to you. Like you get so many, you know, powerful realization. That's the reward. But if you keep serving and you're not reading the books, you're missing out. You're not redeeming your points. You're missing out on the nectar. Or if we're just reading and we're not doing any service, that's also not good. So both has to be there. Devotional service and this reading has to go on simultaneously. And that's why it's called revealed knowledge. Because one of Krishna's name is Adokshaja, means he is beyond our sense perception. Imagine, like, you know, we study, you know, about Krishna, and immediately we come to conclusion, this is not possible. How do we know? It's like if God comes and just acts exactly like a human being, then how is it make him any special? Therefore, Krishna comes and acts in such a way that it blows your mind at every step. Many people claim to be God in India, but then, you know, they have just like lifestyle, just like an ordinary human being. They have heart attacks and strokes and coma and, you know, and they're just suffering like anything, and they're considered to be God. But when you study the life of Krishna, you know, every step he's doing something inconceivable, purposefully just to bewilder our mind, so we humble ourselves. That's why 9 cantos of Bhagavatams are there, humbling us and giving us the little understanding of the supreme position of Krishna. So when we actually read the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we actually don't misunderstand Krishna to be an ordinary being. We actually read with the proper mood. So the process is to serve Krishna with the proper attitude, then Krishna reveals himself to us. Otherwise, we just, you know, remain a nice neophyte. No matter how much we know from these books, we don't apply it with proper attitude. It's useless. It's like the Christians say, you know, the devil knows every word of the Bible. In other words, book knowledge is something. You knowing was one thing, but actually to follow it and put it in practice, that's another thing. But at the moment, because of so many bad experiences and traumas and illusions, our hearts have become like hard. We become like so desensitized. Like you talk to anybody nowadays, you know, they don't think it's, you know, wrong to kill an animal and to eat meat. You know, people say like, who cares if there is, you know, there is a supreme being or not, you know. What's wrong with like aborting a baby in the womb? What's wrong with like, you know, cutting down all the trees? What's wrong with plastic? What, you know, let's import more cars. In India, they recently released, what's that car company? For 1 lakh? Nano. The Tata company introduced this car. You can buy it for $2,000. It's like 1 lakh rupees. And every rickshaw wala was buying one. And where is the road for keeping all these cars? You have unlimited cars pouring into the roads, and traffic is becoming like worse. And all the gasoline and all the honking and all the stress and... So we become desensitized. We become so indifferent. I saw this brilliant example in Mexico. You know, there's so much killing and shooting going on that every car company actually promotes bulletproof windows and windshields and all these things. It's just like in America, you have extra like alarm and this and that. There, they're selling bulletproof windows. It just become like a normal thing. If you're an influential person, if you're driving a nice car, you're asking for trouble, so might as well, you know, secure yourself. So this company has put out an ad saying, it's not saying, it's true. They fill this bulletproof glass with $3 million and they put it in the public place and say, if you can break this, you can take this. In other words, they're challenging, you know, you can break this glass, so the money is secure. But they're saying, if you can break it, try. It's so hard, you know. So I was thinking, in this day and age, our hearts, due to material association, become like this bulletproof. No much, you know, Prabhupada, like Prabhupada said, you can write volumes of books, but you can never convince an hog, you know, that halwa is better than stew. So we become like this, we have become indifferent. But this process is so powerful, this process of bhakti yoga, it can even melt our stone-like hearts. And the process is given to us by Prabhupada. You know, chanting 16 rounds minimum, taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. You can see as soon as some new devotees are coming and they're not aspiring for a guru, they're just claiming to, you know, be Prabhupada this or Prabhupada that. You can see that, you know, they're not growing in a healthy way. There's something wrong. So we have to take initiation from Prabhupada's disciples. We can't take initiation from Prabhupada and become God brothers of Archita Prabhu and Druta Karma Prabhu. That's like illusion. We can't. So we have to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession from Prabhupada. That's like basic ABCs. Chanting 16 rounds, reading these books, serving the devotees and distributing these teachings. This is the process that will soften our hearts again. Again we'll feel like at least like a human being. Like Prabhupada said, following the four regulative principles doesn't make you spiritual, just makes you a human being. Because even many animals follow the four regulative principles, doesn't make them a pure devotee. And especially we are fortunate because we are coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation of all incarnations. And he's running after all the conditioned souls. It's like most of us. It's not like we were running to understand pure love of God. No, somebody was running after us. Please take this, please. You know. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's mentioned how he gave up his family life. You know, he gave up Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya just to show compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. He took sannyas and he was distributing these teachings. It's like many times, like especially when I go home to India, all my friends come to me and say, oh, I'm so sick of this life, sick of my girlfriend, sick of my wife. You know, let me become a sannyasi like you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not like sannyasi like that. He was married to the goddess of fortune who was so beautiful, who was so Krishna conscious, who was so submissive and you name it, she had all the good qualities. But he renounced even such a comfortable situation so he can actually distribute the mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. So much so, it's in his glorification, it's explained, Pasu Pakhi Jure Pasana Vidare Sunijara Gunagata. Even he melted the stone, like really a stone. He was making the animals of Jharkhand forest. You have the painting here. They were all dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And he converted all the Mayavad sannyasis, biggest Mayavad sannyasis, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati. And they had like thousands of disciples. They were even the gurus of the local kings. But Mahaprabhu melted their hearts with his humility and devotion. And this mercy is actually coming. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is actually coming to us through Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It's like one young man, he was walking through the storefront, Prabhupada's first preaching center in New York, and he saw these three books, Bhagavatams, displayed in the front window. And he saw this word, Bhaktivedanta. And he always heard about these teachings, Vedanta, 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 like this. Because New York, all the yoga teachers, impersonalists. So he walked in, said, because he walked in and told Prabhupada, you know, like, oh, I'm very interested in Vedanta. And Prabhupada told him, oh, very nice, read these books, you know. But he was in for a surprise. This is not the kind of Vedanta that he was familiar of and he was looking for. Because Prabhupada's purports were filled with devotional ecstasies, not just some dry philosophy explaining that, you know, you're God, everybody is God, God has no form, all these bogus teachings. So everybody is after this Ram Rajya. Lord Ramchandra, you know, he ruled many, many, many millions of years ago. But his kingdom was so nice. Lord Ramchandra was so nice to his citizens. He was not only nice to the people that he approached him. It's explained that he would actually go in disguise to study the lives of the people that were shy to approach him and make sure they had no problem. Can you imagine a king like that? So everybody is so much after this kind of ruling. But if you really want this kind of change, because many times, you know, even as devotees, we sit behind the Facebook and just pushing some buttons, just sharing the same thing again and again with devotees. But if you want to really make a change, you go out and tell people that don't know anything about anything. Then we can actually make a change in this world. It's like Srila Prabhupada's books are even translated in Zulu now. Imagine how much Prabhupada would be pleased. He would be in so much ecstasy to know about this. Because this is the process. The process is these books are coming in disciplic succession of great saints. And we have to read them, understand them, accept a spiritual master, serve, take a humble position, and give up whatever is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. In this way, in due course of time, all these things we are reading, all the glories of Krishna, all the glories of pure devotees will be actually revealed to us. Will actually make sense. We can understand Krishna with our limited, imperfect senses. We have to take to this process of bhakti yoga if we actually want to understand. So, is there any questions or comments? Thank you for your kind attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.